In the last several shiurim, we've been trying to define precisely what does basa mean and exactly what does chala mean. Obviously, we're talking about basa and chala, you need a combination of the two. But now I'm going to move on to the next part of our definition, introductions to the basa and chala. So the next part of our definition is going to be the phrase tevashel. The Torah says, well, tevashel li b'chala v'imo. The Gemara has a famous statement, derech bishul asra Torah, that the only time that basa and chala is prohibited in the Torah is only if it's derech bishul. If it's not derech bishul, if it's not cooked together, even though it's mixed together, if it's sitting together, other processes together, that's not considered to be basa and chala in the Torah. I mean, the rabbanon, it's still going to be a problem. So if you have a piece of meat and a slice of cheese on top of it, even though there's no bishul whatsoever, it's something it's called, that of course is still prohibited in the Ravana, but that's not called basa and chala midaraisa. Midaraisa required derech bishul. The Rav used to say that if you look at the poskim, you see there are sometimes two terms that seem to be interchangeable. Sometimes the poskim describe basa bichalav, and sometimes the poskim use the phrase basa vichalav with a vav. What's the difference between basa bichalav with a bays and basa vichalav with a vav? So the Rav suggested that basa bichalav is really the deraistic term. That it's basa inchalav, that means especially bachalivimo, that means it was literally cooked together. Basa vichalav means not meat in milk, it means meat and milk. So the Rabbanan is, and if they eat even meat and milk together, so that's why sometimes you see the terms basa bichalav with a bays, sometimes basa vichalav with a vav. But everyone agrees that in a Torah it's only prohibited if it's derech bishul. The question really comes for us to try to define today is what exactly does this term bishul mean? How exactly do you define that bishul in order to constitute basa chol d'oraisa? Now this question, how do you define bishul, this already is not necessarily just a basa chol question. We know there are other areas of halacha where bishul plays a critical role. We've even spoken about them over the years. There's bishul b'shabbos. I think we were fair enough to say that the last time we spoke on Bishop Shabbos, Dr. Belzad, it's got to be about 5-6 years ago when we started the Shabbos Shurim. I think it wasn't even in the morning months. The Bishul ones were the night ones, the midnight. It's called the midnight. Those were the Wednesday night, the 11:15 Wednesday night Bishul Shurim. So it's quite a time back. I think it was before I even lived in Bergenfield, if I'm not mistaken. I think I was still paramus in those years. So I think it's due for a little bit of Chazara in terms of just some of the definitions of what Bishul means. We spoke about them a little bit in Bishul Lakham Shurim. Those were also quite a few years ago. So I think we're due for a little bit of a recap, just what exactly the definition of bishul is. And again, we're going to be focusing primarily on the basa b'chala angle, but it's going to be touching on other areas of halacha as well. So the sugya begins, for our purposes, really, with the Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin of Dan and Mebeis. The Gemara, at first glance, is talking about something which has nothing at all to do with our topic. The Gemara is talking about a very general question about yesh em b'mikwa, yesh em b'masoret. Means that sometimes you have psukim that are written in Chumash that if you would just read them the way they're written, so they would theoretically be pronounced in a certain fashion. But we have a tradition about how to read them. We have kach nimsal maishoneinu ishpipiyish bakari achav alkari. How exactly to read a particular word? So you have a lot of these kinds of words in Chumash. For example, from going back to Masech Sukkah sugyas, so the Torah says, Now, every Bakari knows that the correct pronunciation is kapos tamarim, and if Bakari would say anything less different than that, we would have to correct him. But if you look in the Chumash, that's what it says. In the Chumash, it doesn't say kapos for the vav, it says kapas. It says kof pei atof. So we know, we have a traditional reading, this is called Yeshua Mamikra, we have a traditional reading of how to read that pasuk, but on the other hand, the pasuk says kapas. So what is... So what is the difference between kapos and kapas? It's all the difference in the world. Kapos tamarim sounds like you take two lulavs. Kapas tamarim sounds like the lashon yachid, you only take one lulav. So the Gemara's whole discussion with Sefer Sukkah, how do we know that in fact the halacha is you only take one lulav, not two lulavs? So the Gemara relates this question of mikra versus masorah. Yeshem the masorah means that your paskin the shal is based on the way the words are written in the Chumash. Yeshem the mikra means your paskin the shal is based on the way the words are traditionally pronounced. The Gemara discusses this, like every sukkah, about basukas teshvu, basukos teshvu, is it lashin rabim, lashin yochid, or the Gemara discusses it about tefillin, l'totafos, it's written l'tatfas. So is there any significance in the fact that it's written b'lashin yochid, not lashin rabim? You have many, 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 many discussions about this. Primarily, the primary sugya in Shas is in Sanhedrin Daf Dalet. So in the middle of this discussion, the Gemara raises the question about this possible Sevasu Gediba Chalev Imo. It comes to Gemara and says that, how do you know what that word really means? Cheslam Veis. How do you know what the word means? So if you follow the traditional reading, the traditional, you know, pronunciation of that word, b'chalev imo, so then we know b'chalev is really chalav, it's written that way because it's samuch to imo, but then it's referring to the term chalav, it's referring to milk. But says the Gemara, if you would follow just the letters themselves, if you wouldn't follow what the traditional pronunciation is, you may walk away with a very, very somewhat bizarre interpretation of the pasuk. Lo savashal be b'chalev imo. So that's my kids, when I try, you know, when my sons first started to read, so to read Chumash from the Kulas is very easy. So once I opened up the Sefer Torah for them, I said, okay, let's see if you can read. So how can I read? There are no dots. There are no Nakudas. So they're stuck right. Nachinami. So it says, B'chol Evimo. I don't mean B'chol Evimo. It means B'chol Evimo. What would that mean for us? That would be Basar, B'chelev would be awesome. You said, I don't want to cook meat and fat, and forbidden fat, but milk and meat and milk, that's a Gemara. So, I mean, obviously we know that's not true. So the Gemara is a real discussion about that. How do you know? How do you know that Basar B'chelev means Basar B'chelev and doesn't mean Basar B'chelev? That's the Gemara's question. So the Gemara pilpuls, Yeshem, the Mikra, Yeshem, the Sower, back and forth. Finally, the Gemara says, nah, it's not a kasha. There's no way that the word Ches Lamed Beis in the Chumash can actually mean anything other than cholav, anything other than milk in this context. Why? Says the Gemara four words, Derech Dishol Asra Torah, that the Torah prohibits Lo Savashil Gedibah Cholav Imo. So in milk, that's called the Derech Dishol. Whereas if the process would be Mechelav Imo, that's what the Torah is going to be describing, Lo Savashil Gedibah Cholav Imo, says the Gemara, that would be a chisar, that would be lacking in Derech Dishol Asra Torah, and therefore it is inconceivable that the word Ches Lamed Beis means anything else than besides milk. The question is, what does it mean exactly? How do you see, how do you prove from the term Derech Bishol that Ches Lamed Beis means a certain thing? So come Rashi and Tosfos and say the answer is very simple. The word Bishol has a specific connotation to it. Bishol always in Halacha, say Rashi and Tosfos, means you're cooking in some kind of a liquid. Remember the Shabbos, we spoke about this a lot. That Bishol always has the connotation, I'm cooking up chicken in water, I'm cooking up something in a liquid, I'm boiling an egg in water. Those are considered to be Bishol. So if Ches Lamed Beis means milk, so then I understand why the Torah calls it Lo Savashil Kedibah Cholav Imo. But if Ches Lamed Beis doesn't mean milk, Ches Lamed Beis means chelav, means fat, say Rashi and Tosfos, that process is a totally different process. That's not cooking. That's called frying. That's called roasting. That's other kinds of preparation of food. But if you take a piece of meat and you put it with a piece of fat and you turn on the fire, that's not called bishul. That's called anything else. You name it. I'll call it a million other things, but bishul is not. So Rashi and Tosfos says it's ultimately that that in a sense supported Chazal's understanding, Chazal's tradition, that osavash will be b'cholav imo cannot mean chelav, but it must mean cholav. Atkan divrei Rashi and Tosfos in Masechet Sanhedrin. So the Chora, we can walk away from this Rashi and Tosfos and say, wait a second, that premise is very important for us, Lamaisa, because what that premise really just told us is that an absolute prerequisite for the prohibition of us b'cholav in a Torah is that there has to be a liquid present. There has to be milk present. If there's no liquid, then that's ois bas b'cholav in a Torah. That's not called bas b'cholav. My nafkamina. So you turn that stuff kamina. According to what Rashi and Tosfos just told us, all the halacha be as follows. Imagine the following shayla. I take a piece of meat, and I take a piece of cheese, and I throw them together onto a barbecue, and I make myself, lo and behold, a cheeseburger. Is that, as strange as the shayla may be, is that called bas b'cholav d'oraisa or not? So according to Rashi and Tosfos, the answer is no. That's not bas b'cholav d'oraisa. That's pretty interesting.
If the heat process melts down the cheese, and become liquefied.
But l'chora, the heat process also melted down the chelev. It means in theory, if you would cook basa b'chelev, you would cook basa b'chelev, it would also start to melt. So obviously that's not considered to be sufficient. Obviously when we speak about basa b'cholev, we speak about derech bishol, so Rashi uses the phrase, that's like sol kamayim, that's to be a real liquid, not just something which is either roasting or frying or melting or something of that nature. So that din de araisa, that is Yotzei from Rashi and Tosfos Pshat the Gemara, becomes critical for us. Again, nobody's advocating or eating the cheeseburgers, but it would be important for us to know, is a cheeseburger really deraisa or not? Why is that important for us to know whether the cheeseburger is deraisa? Well, twofold. We've already spoken about this in the past. Only bas b'chol deraisa is also b'hanah. Bas b'chol derabanan is permitted, one is permitted to receive benefit from. Only bas b'chol deraisa, one is actually prohibited to cook. something which is only bas b'chalav b'derba, let's say chicken and milk. Person wants to cook chicken and milk, so there's nothing wrong with that. You have to eat it. You want to feed it to a guy, that's fine. It's only derabanan. So if a cheeseburger is bas b'chalav d'oraisa, then it's also the achila b'hada u'b'bishul. If a cheeseburger is only bas b'chalav d'rabanan, then it's going to be also the achila, but it's going to be muta b'hada, it's going to be muta b'bishul. So believe it or not, these shailas really happen. It's not the most fitting job for Ben Tyra. The guy wants to work at Burger King, wants to work at McDonald's. I remember I had a Talmud once, years ago, who lived in some far out of town place. It was about Tshuva, and he was going off for the summer, and he had his parents, and he's got to get a job. The only job he was able to get was to be a waiter or a worker or something in a trifle restaurant. So the Shiloh was, and he permitted to do so. Marasayan, some of the things we spoke about last week. Marasayan, it wasn't such a Marasayan, there were no Jews around, there was a sin or whatever, there wasn't a Jew around for miles, no one was coming to eat in this restaurant. So, what was the issue? So I said, what kind of restaurant is it? I said, if it's a McDonald's kind of a restaurant, then we have to be down in this very, very serious shiloh. Is that being called being nana in Bas B'chol D'Oraisa? Here, I'm a waiter, I'm serving Bas B'chol, I'm getting my tips based on the Bas B'chol that I'm serving, or I'm working behind the counter, I'm flipping cheeseburgers, that would be innocent, that would potentially be a D'Oraisa, if you hold it, that's called Bas B'chol D'Oraisa. So the good news was, I think it was some kind of a seafood place or something. So the worst he was serving was, don't quote me, the worst he was serving was shrimp and lobster. So nishkefelach in terms of hanoah. This was no one said to cook shrimp. There's no one said to get hanoah from lobster. So I had to go more. You know, I'd eat it obviously, but anything else would be permissible. So what would be the din? Is the cheeseburger d'oraisa d'rabbanan? So according to Rashi and Tosfos Lachar, the answer is that it's only mid d'rabbanan. However, other Rishonim have a different pshat in this Gemara. Tosfos themselves quote from Yesh Mefarshim. They don't identify who it is, but they identify that there are other Rishonim, other Balei Tosfos, who learned a very different pshat in this Gemara. What is that cryptic term, Derech Bishul Asatara, mean in the purposes and the context of that sugya? Derech Bishul Asatara, according to the Yesh Mefarshim, is not addressing the process of what's called Bas B'chol D'Oraisa, what's called Derech Bishul, what's not. Rather, it's addressing the chefza of the food, going back to what we spoke about in the past. Derech Bishul HaSatar, in this context, conjures up the following image. Derech Bishul means that it's Bishul that's causing us problems. That means Kol Zman, you didn't cook this food together, you were allowed to eat it. Derech Bishul means that the two ingredients themselves, the kosher ingredients, the recipe for Bas B'chol is a kosher recipe. Meat is kosher, and milk is kosher. The problem of the recipe of Bas B'chol is the combination of the two. Derech Bishul HaSatar, it's because you're cooking the two together that's causing problems, the implication being everything up to the point that Bishul was mutar. So if Cain, says the Yesh Mefarshim, how can you tell me that the two ingredients in Bas B'chol are basar and chela? How can you tell me that chesam and beis doesn't mean milk, it means chel? Chelav is treif, chelav is asar, chelav is nisikares. So when the Torah asks basar, b'chela, b'chola, whatever you want to call it, so the Torah is indicating to me, derech bishul asa Torah, only at the point of the mixture of the two through bishul is there a problem, implying that beforehand there was no problem. So if that's pshat in the Gemara, so that's a totally different ballgame. So what that pshat, what the pshat Yesh Mefarshim is saying, is that there's nothing intrinsically not derech bishul about chelav, basar, and chelav really would have made the mark of Bas B'chol D'Oraisa. It really would have been called cooking meat and milk together. That's not the case of the Torah, because it doesn't make any sense, because the Torah is asering two dvar ha-mutarim, not a situation where one of them was already a dvar ha-asar in the first place. Okay, so Tosfos rejects the Yesh Mefarshim based on some of the sugyas of Issachar that we spoke about in the past, right? So we have two fundamentally different pshatim and rishonim in that mystical phrase of derech bishul asa Torah, which lead us to two very, very different conclusions in terms of that cheeseburger shayla. So according to one interpretation, to the first day of Rashi's Pshat and the first day of Taish, the conventional Pshat in the Gemara is taking a stand on the cheeseburger and saying cheeseburgers are not D'Oraisa. That's tli, that's roasting, that's fried, that's not Bishul. Going to the second Pshat, no, fakir. The Gemara is saying the exact opposite, that roasting, fried, that's called Bishul. Bishul doesn't mean Bishul with liquid. Bishul means preparing, taking raw food and cooking, roasting, frying, getting it ready to eat, to heat. That's all called Derech Bishul. The only reason why Chelev loses out is not because of the process, but because of the Chefta, that's a Dover also. That's a real Nafkamin Ladina. So this is in fact the opening of Kivegir, the opening of Pesach Shuvah, the beginning of Sivan Tezayin in Yeridea, when the Halacha says that it has to be Lo Savashel, you need Bishul to be D'Oraisa. So the Acharonim people, what's it in if you have frying? What's is it if you have roasting? Is that called derech bishol? Is that called bas b'chol deraisa or not? So real shayla l'maisa, and ultimately it boils down to these two, pun intended, it boils down to these two days in Tyson said, Hedet Abdalim Beis. Now, very often, this shayla in terms of the cheeseburger becomes combined with the previous sugya that we spoke about. Namely, we had a whole other tzad l'hokol that maybe a cheeseburger is not really bas b'chol deraisa vis-a-vis hanah for a different reason, because it's b'sar nevela. Now, we spoke about this in the past, that was in the Kuna Nifla, that the Gemara says that if you take b'sar nevela and you cook it together with milk, so there's no question that that's a sort of bishul bas b'chol. You violated the nisa deraisa by cooking it. But most of us are not cooking b'sar nevela b'chol. Most of our shalas of b'sar nevela are more shalas of hanah. Is there an Isser Hanah on B'sar Nevela B'chalah? So the Gemara said that the Isser Bishul, for sure there is. The Isser Achila, for sure there isn't, because Ein Isser Chalal Isser. The Machlekes, the Rambam and Tosfos was, in the absence of the Isser Achila, can there be an Isser Hanah? So the Rambam had a Chiddush, that was in the Kudah HaNeflah, the Rambam in Tosfos Mishnayos, that the Isser Hanah on B'sar Nevela B'chalah doesn't exist in a vacuum. It exists when there's an Isser Achila. If the Halacha paskins that it's also the Achila mitam B'sar Nevela, then the corollary is, it becomes also b'hanah. If the Yisra Achila is not chal for whatever reason, such as Einis Achal, since it was already also mitam nevela, so now the Yisra Achila's bas b'cholav can't take effect. If the Yisra Achila's bas b'cholav can't take effect, then the Yisra Hanah bas b'cholav can't take effect either. So the Rambam happens to hold, because of this quirk, that is the Kudah flaw, the relationship between the Yisra Achila and the Yisra Hanah, the Rambam's conclusion, the Rambam Shita, just happens to be that if you have the sign of nevela cooking, not just cooking in a pot, together with cholov, you're going to get off scot-free. There's not going to be any Isra Hanah of bas b'cholov. And Taisha disagrees. Taisha says, what? My Indian Achila Hanah. Achila doesn't apply because Ein Nesachal Isra, but Hanah does apply. Nevela's mutab Hanah, so the concept of Ein Nesachal Isra doesn't apply. So if you put together both of these two things, things we spoke about a couple of weeks before, and today, you come with an interesting shayla. I want to know shat l'mais. I want to know halach l'mais. Is a cheeseburger asab Hanah Hanah? Somebody gives me a cheeseburger. I want to know, can I feed the cheeseburger to my dog? Can I give the cheeseburger to my babysitter? Can I give the cheeseburger to my coworker? What's the din? Is anytime something is also banah, I'm not allowed to give it to a guy, because by giving it to the guy, that's considered to be hanah. Now the guy is going to be appreciative of me. He's going to do me a favor in return. So anytime I have a davar also banah, so it's off limits for me to give it to anybody, to my animal, to anybody whatsoever. So what's the halacha? So it's a cheeseburger, bas b'chol deraisa not. So we have two different shailas that are now converging together. So one is the b'sar nevela angle. We're talking about a non-kosher meat of a cheeseburger, obviously. It's non-kosher meat of a cheeseburger, it's b'sar nevela. So that's the machlokes tells in the Rambam. Then we have the second shaila, which is 2 days in Tosfos, and that ended up valid. Is that called derech bishul? According to the first day in Tosfos, that bishul means solo kamayim, it's got to be a liquidy milk. So that anything short of a meat cooking in liquid and milk is not bas b'chol deraisa. According to the second day in Tosfos, that doesn't matter. The fact that it's cheese and not liquid milk, that's lo malach lo b'ayis. So the reason I'm spending time in this, as I mentioned this in the past, this shaila about is a cheeseburger bas b'chol deraisa, this was my question, my entrance exam, as you can call it, to the Kol Elyon. So this goes back quite a few years. I think I finished smicha. I finished smicha, it's already almost 20 years ago when I finished smicha. So when I finished smicha, I wanted to come to the Kol Elyon at the time. So I don't know what the rules are now, but the entrance requirements for the Kol Elyon, besides having smicha, was I had to take a bechina with I think it was five Rosh Yeshivas at the time, five Rosh Yeshivas in YU at the time. I had to give each one independently a bechina. So at the time I had been in Rabbi Shechta's kolo for a couple of years, and Rabbi Shechta knew me, so it wasn't the most exhausting, you know, bechina. He knew who I was. Rabbi Willig was the other one, right? Willig knew me already for years already, from his shiur and from Riverdale. So it was also, you know, pretty quick bechina. Rabbi Peresky, you may remember the previous Bochen in Yeshiva, he also knew me for quite a while. So he had to give me a Bechina, it also went. It wasn't that taxing of Bechina. Rabbi Baron Khan, who was Rosh Kol at the time, so he also knew me. So he also didn't give me, I remember he was out of town, so we spoke on the phone a little bit. It wasn't the most taxing Bechina. Out of all the five Rashivas who gave me a Bechina, Rabbi Bleich, he didn't know who I was. He had never met me in yeshiva. He had no idea who I was. I'd never been in yeshiva. He didn't know me from all the world. So I remember I came to his office one day, and that my entire entrance was hinging upon this bechina, because nobody else really had any...
Upon his own tradition.
So So I sat down in Rav Black's office. I remember like yesterday, 20 years ago, he asked me, so tell me, what are you learning now? So I said, I'm learning Chulin Yer Hadayah now. So he said, which part? I said, we're doing Hilchos Bas B'Cholov right now. So he said to me, okay. He said to me, tell me, is a cheeseburger Bas B'Cholov D'Araisa now? That was the whole shahar. Is a cheeseburger Bas B'Cholov D'Araisa? So let's talk about it, he said. So I assumed he wanted me to talk. So I started to talk. So I said, so, okay, let's first discuss the Rabbah's Nekudah Niflah. Because it's the sign of Eilat. So I talked about it. It's the Chalusa for a few minutes. Abisha, Hanon, Achilu, what's the relationship? The Rabbah, and Tyson, and Yehuda. Then I continued. I said, I better get into the Kabbalah. So I better talk to more. So I said, there's a different angle of the Shaila. Totally different angle of the Shaila. That's the Tzwi versus Bishul Shaila. That's the Tyson. And so there's a Tyson and the Rai from Derech Bishul and the Rabbi Kineger and the Zat before that. So I spoke for another 5-10 minutes about that. So that was it. That was all the Chisha. Okay. So he said, okay, fine, very good, okay, you accept this. So I walked out of the office. Then I realized that's what I used to call this the $45,000 question. At the time, because well, he was paying $15,000, I think inflation's gone up, but at the time it was $15,000 per year. It was a 3-year program, and that was the only question that I really answered out of all the questions. Nobody else really gave me bechina. So it was a $45,000 question with a cheeseburger. So you two can join the hello if you want. For $45,000, you got to know the Nekuna Flan, you got to know this ration test.
He wanted an answer to eat it.
I don't know what his kapana was. Anyway, so getting back to this story. So this Shaila had really, really come up, Mamash Lamaisa, not in terms of a cheeseburger, it came up in terms of a steak that was prepared in butter. So it's a steak in butter, my high. So Maisa Shaila Kachoya, Rabbi Willig, one of his kids was born on January 2nd. I always remember born on January 2nd, well, I remember. Because in Riverdale, they always have a contest called the Baby of the Year. The first baby that's born in the secular new year, like they have in America also. The first baby that was born in Riverdale on right after January 1st at midnight became the Baby of the Year and was given a whole bunch of prizes and was written up in the story in the local newspaper, Riverdale Press, and Kachava. We really got a kid who was born on January 2nd. And that year, there were no babies born in Riverdale on January 1st. And somebody entered his baby. I don't think he did it. I don't think his wife did it. Somebody entered his baby. And Kachava, the baby won. So remember, there was a front page picture of Rabbi Willig and Rebbetzin Willig and all the kids, and it said Mazel Tov baby. Well, this big bold letters, the Riverdale Press, Mazel Tov baby's child the first. At the time, I think it was he had about 7 or 8 kids by then, so it wasn't exactly the first, but it was Mazel Tov babies is the first of the year. So it's Kachav, so Rabbi Willig walked out. So one of the many prizes that his family was given was a dinner for two at the Donaghy Steakhouse, if I'm not mistaken. You know the name of the steakhouse in Riverdale, famous steakhouse. Donaghy Steakhouse, a dinner, $50 tickets, you know, dinner for two to Donaghy Steakhouse. So I really was presented at Donaghy Steakhouse. I remember when I was sitting in his house once, and we were discussing it. He's told it on to these two gift certificates to Donaghy Steakhouse. I said, what am I supposed to do with it? He said, can I give it? We were being down in the Shiloh. I said, it was only about to call at the time. So he said, what can I do? Can I give it to my non-Jewish, to the babysitter or not? Is that okay? So we were talking. So he said to me, what's his latest on something? It would be just a tray for restaurant, a chanesa seafood place. It's a Shiloh. It's at the Gomer. It's like, here, Hashem, Shrechtid, Mochel, and Nochri. It's at the Gomer. Let me give a tray for food to a non-Jew. So what was the Shaila? The Shaila was, apparently, in Donaghy Steakhouse, the steaks are all prepared in butter. That's the dub. They're all fried in butter. That's where you prepare steaks, the Donaghy Steakhouse. That's what the research told them. That's what they told them in the store. They all prepare all the steaks in butter. So Shaila is that Bas B'Cholov? Is that Bas B'Cholov D'Araisa? So if it's only Bas B'Cholov D'Rabbanan, then it's Tachamut D'Bahana. If it's, then you can give it to a goy. If it's Bas B'Cholov D'Araisa, then it's not only the Asa B'Achila, and Asa B'Mishal, but it's also B'Anah V'Araisa as well. Now, giving something which is also B'Anah to a goyish worker, that's called an ugly step, because, oh, they're going to be so appreciative. I'm giving you $50, you know, to my cleaning lady, to my babysitter. I'll do a better job cleaning next time. So we'll appreciate it. I mean, that's called, Akharas HaToit. That's also called B'Anah. So the Shaila was, can I give this just treif, a gift certificate of not just treifas, but a bas b'cholov ticket, some big bold letters, a sebastian b'cholov, a bas b'cholov gift certificate, can I give it to a goyish worker or not? So when we were being done on this shayla, we realized it's the same shayla, the cheeseburger. On both counts. Number one, it's beside the veil, not beside shchuta. Donaghy, I don't think is using the, I don't think they're being mocked, but they're not using the, you know, the kosher. They're not using it, yeah. So it's for sure beside the veil, number one. So that's one side of the hakol. It's b'chayis tayz mirabin, the kuna on the shlof of 2 or 3 weeks ago. And number two, It's steaks being fried in butter. Steaks being fried in butter is much closer to the meat being fried in the chaylev, which Rashi and Tosfos says not called Derech Bishul, because it's not solo kamayim. So according to one day in Tosfos, according to Rashi, according to the simple pshat, conventional pshat in the Gemara, whatever is Derech Tzli and Derech Tigun and frying and roasting is not called Bas B'chol Deraisa. So then this steak would not be Bas B'chol Deraisa, it would be Mutavana. But if you hold like the second pshat in Tosfos, the Yesh B'Farshim, which is the more lovely pshat, that frying is called Derech Bishul. It's just that it's Enes HaChalista, because it was a Dover Osim beforehand, the whole story. So that wouldn't be a riot. Anything that would indicate that frying and roasting is considered to be Bishul for the purposes of the Araisa. So we have two possible spellbook, a combination of the Rambam's Akuna Eflah and this also. You can argue maybe for another side. You can argue that maybe when I give you the gift certificate, I'm not telling you to buy the Donaghy steak. They serve drinks in the store also. They serve desserts in the store also. So maybe you can argue that it's not like I'm picking up a cheeseburger and giving you, I'm picking up a steak and giving it to you. I'm giving you the opportunity to eat whatever you want. You choose, you want to
lobster.
Right. So even though it's called Donaghy's steakhouse, so the stomach has got to be some food there that's not the... Maybe you can ask that your steak's prepared not in about Achmes, I don't know. So whatever it is, the bottom line is that a shtickle steak... Taste it. Smells the bottom of the hole. Taste it. Time to eat it. Anyway, this shiloh that we're having now, in terms of tzli, can be combined with some of the things we spoke about in the previous year. There's one less tikkuna that really should lead us into the next dimension of the shiloh. That's as follows. We've been talking a lot about bishul, in terms of bishul kemayim, you know, something which is really a liquid like bishul mayim and cholov, and we've been contrasting it to tzli, to roasting. There is something in the middle that we kind of fudged the difference over the last couple of minutes of this year, and that's, what if we're not talking about bishul in a mayim, and we're not talking about absolute roasting, we're talking more in terms of frying. We're talking about something which Dr. Bell thought already is more rare. Right now, maybe more of a solid kind of thing, but it's melting immediately, and even if it's not, even it may not even start out as solid, it's more of a frying type of a procedure. Is frying really called tzli? Is tigun and halacha really close to the tzli? Maybe you can argue when I fry something, so even though it may start out more of a solid-based food, but it's turning into liquid very, very quickly. So when I fry a steak in butter, when I fry something in the chais in butter and something else, is that the same as a cheeseburger? A cheeseburger is solid meat and solid cheese. It remains basically solid. I mean, the cheese melts a little bit, but it's basically primarily solid cheese that remains. When you fry something, so whatever solid started out, it becomes mamish liquidy immediately. Is that correct? Are we correct in our analysis that's not bishul, that's called tzli? So we have to reevaluate that question, hopefully in the next year. What exactly is the status of this middle category of tigun? Believe it or not, we have to decide, so we should have chanukah share next week. So believe it or not, we can have a combination of chanukah and this, because I didn't even plan it, but there's actually discussion, believe it or not, in Hukos chanukah, of all places, what would that look be if a person has some kind of a buttery mix he wants to use as chanukah candles? So in theory, the halacha is you can use any shemen you want. So a guy wants to use some kind of a buttery food as chanukah candles. The only problem is that buttery mix was bas b'cholof. Can you use bas b'cholof for chanukah candles? I kid you not. There's a discussion in the Shari Tshuva about this. Hopefully, we'll next week. Maybe we'll talk about that. It'll be a good bridge between bas b'cholof and chanukah. Just in case they start sending you chanukah candles in the mail, they start sending you.